when we did this study. I decided that I can't do this study the way that I was doing it. It's just not going to work. So this week I decided to approach it from a different angle. I don't normally teach this way, so I'm not sure how this is going to work for me. So just kind of bear with me. But we're going to be doing some different things. We're going to be looking at some, especially in this section, there's a word here we're going to talk about, propitiation. Oh, you're jumping ahead. Yeah. And we're going to be talking about some other stuff. So to get us started, we're actually going to backtrack a little bit all the way to verse 10. I know that we actually went to verse 14, but to get the bigger picture of something that's happening here, we need to back up a little bit. Chapter 2, verse 10 to the end of the chapter. There's something very important that takes place for most of this section. Hebrews.
Hebrews chapter
2. Yes, verses 10 through 18. Like 10 through 18. Chapter 2. Would someone like to read chapters 2, verses 10 through 18? Go ahead, Kay. Sounded like we were reading the right place. Part of a larger section that we've been talking about as far as Jesus in the context of being greater than the angels. And in this section, this is why I had to backtrack a little bit, he lists 9 reasons that Jesus is greater than angels. And I thought the first thing we could do is identify them. So, look at this section and tell me if you can, where you can, what those 9 reasons are. Which particular verse? Okay. Yes. So he to be made perfect through all things. This is actually the 3rd reason. If you're going in order. So Jesus is made perfect through specific thing. Perfect through what? Suffering. Yes. But Jesus is made perfect through suffering because he had to suffer. It doesn't really mean anything for Jesus to come... Bear with me for a second. It doesn't really mean anything for Jesus to come to earth if the events of the cross do not happen. Because then it's just God walking with us. Well, God walked with us in the Old Testament. We saw that all the time, right? We're doing Exodus. We see God came to them in the form of a bush. We see that he comes to the form of them in a pillar of fire and cloud. And then it says that he spoke to Abraham on Mount Sinai, which one of the things that we're going to talk about today. And they had to sanctify themselves. But here we see God is a physical representation as man. But it is the events on the cross here that really, really matter. So Jesus has to suffer when he comes to earth. Does anybody remember what kind of suffering he went through? Like, how did he suffer? Oh, but humans are tempted. Okay. Can you elaborate? There you go. All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's probably, I think, the writer wants you to think of this particular instance of him being, him taking on our sins and being separated from God. But there's also the physical suffering that he went through. And that's not to be discounted as well. There's the Jewish law. It said he was beat. Have you guys ever seen The Passion of the Christ? Yeah. Jewish law says that when you whip someone, you're supposed to get 40 lashes. And so they would give them what they called the 40 minus 1. That's that legalism for you. They wanted to make sure that you never went over in case you miscounted. So they always gave you less than you were supposed to get if you were going to be beat. But Romans didn't have that law, so Christ probably took more than that. That's just one point to illustrate. And then the crucifixion we see is quite a painful way to die because you basically die by not being able to breathe. So that's number one. 2:10. He's made perfect through suffering. What's another one? Sorry, that's number three, not number one. What are the nine? We're looking for the nine reasons that Jesus is greater than angels.
God put everything under him.
Okay. Verse 8?
Yeah, that's right after verse 8.
We're just looking through 10 through...
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Between verses 10 and 18. My mistake. Okay. That's actually not one I listed. But yeah, good. I like it. He is able to sanctify. So now we're up to 10. Not just 9. But you're right. He is able to sanctify. And because he's able to sanctify, that does make him greater than angels. Because that means he has the power to sanctify. Yeah.
And he was the author of their salvation. All of our salvation. I don't know, you may have to help.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but I like this. It's fine. There might be more. Okay. But I like this. I mean, just, I recognize nine reasons, and that doesn't mean that there are more. Or there or less. Well, I'm pretty sure there's at least these nine. Yeah. So, how about this? Instead of making you guess what I'm trying to think, I'll just go through my list. See, I told you this is an experiment. 2-9, nine, sorry, I even went outside my purview. Okay. 2-10, I'm going to ignore that one because I just said 10. He brings the sons to glory. Okay. So this speaks a lot. This actually has a second meaning because we're going to learn that he himself, as the son, we are brothers. But as brothers, he brings the father's sons to glory. Which again shows his power. And we do that, and how does Christ bring us to glory? Through his blood. Very simple answer. Good, thank you. And we already talked about this one, so let's go to 2:14. Because he can destroy the devil, the one who has power over death. So we see that he is not only greater than the angels, but he's greater than the devil or Satan. My translation says devil. Does anybody else's translation say Satan? Okay. Sometimes those words are used interchangeably and sometimes they're used differently. When Jesus dies on the cross, death is now taken captive of him. And so there's kind of like this illustration that I've seen before. I'm going to try to... You have heaven, you have earth, you have cross, and you have the earth below. And then you have Jesus on the cross. And this is him in the 3 days. He's not here, he's not here. He's constantly here in this state. Because death, while death has a hold, death cannot keep him. And so in 3 days when he rises, he permanently rises above death. And so yes, that doesn't mean we're not going to die, because everyone dies. Even Jesus died. And we die because of sin. The wages of sin are death, as Paul says in Romans. But as he also says, we have new life through Jesus. So, he's greater than angels because he has the power to destroy the devil. Also in 2:15, to deliver those who were subjected to slavery by fear of death. This is a very interesting way to put this. I think what he's saying here is death is something that we fear. And because we fear it, it has a hold of us. Yes. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I could say that he feared it, but I do know that he was tempted to be above it, because he does ask God to take it away from him. Yeah. 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 Because Jesus knew what was going to happen. He basically told them what was going to happen. I talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago, about, you know, you're just getting older. And so I know the older I get, this is something I start to think about more and more. And it does bother me I know where my salvation is, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't bother me. It's the only certainty you have in life. But through Jesus, he at least alleviates this by knowing that death is not an end. Death is a new beginning for us, or new life. Okay, 2:16. To help the offspring of Abraham. Again, this is probably a dual meaning here, because we see that in the Old Testament, the offspring of Abraham are... I'm just meant in the Old Testament. The Israelites. But in the New Testament, like in Galatians, the offspring of Abraham are us. There you go. So we are still children of Abraham, whether or not we're direct descendants, because of the promise that God makes to Abraham. And God, and part of that promise, as we see done through Abraham, and again done through David, is that God promises that he's going to protect them. And as such, Jesus protects them as well. So he helps them. Any other thoughts on that? Okay. All right, 2:17, to be a merciful and faithful high priest. This imagery of Jesus being the high priest is used a few times in the New Testament. I think it's Hebrews. I may be wrong. Comparison to Melchizedek? Yeah. Do you guys... I would be really impressed if you guys can tell me who Melchizedek was. He's only mentioned twice in the Bible, and once is in Hebrews. A what? Yes, good. Mentioned all the way in Genesis. But the idea is that Jesus is of that order. There's no one greater. And as like the high priest would offer atonement for the people of Israel once a year, Jesus offers atonement for us once and for all. Okay, so because this takes place in 2:17, this is where I'm actually going to talk about this word, propitiation. What does propitiation mean? What? Peggy says atonement and redemption. Does anybody else have it? That definition?
Appeasement.
Oh. That's a good one.
Google says the action of surprising.
Thank you. This book is a lexicon. You librarians who know it, or teachers who know what a lexicon is, it's basically a fancy dictionary. This is probably one of the most comprehensive Greek dictionaries lexicons that you can get. It's very, very expensive. I don't recommend you buy it. They have the internet for this now. But in English, this word, I wanted to talk about this word because this is a very, very good word. But in English, this word is only used 4 times in the 8 most common translations. That's NIV, ESV, NRSV, American Standard, King James, New King James, and I forget the other two. 4 times. However, the reason I wrote down this Greek is in the New Testament, this word is only used 7 times as a word. And this is all the different ways you could say this word.
Lauskomai Luauskai Luausmos Luauskaiton. I'm not sure.
Don't think I'm saying that one right.
And
that breathing mark.
Yeah.
It's basically all the same word. And the reason I wrote it down here was I wanted to... in Greek, depending on how a word is used, changes the way it's spelled. But it also could change the definition. And I wanted to point this out, that where it says this here in Hebrews 2:17, is the only time that this word is used in the New Testament or the Old Testament. And in this particular case, it does mean, this word generally means atonement, but that doesn't really give you the right idea. It means to wipe out. Wipe out. Or eliminate. To get rid of. A little bit stronger language than what atonement really means. So when we look at propitiation here, he says in 2:17, therefore he had been made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make a propitiation, so to basically wipe out the sins of the people. So that's Jesus. Jesus came to wipe out the sins of the people. We're going to talk about this word again when we get to Hebrews 19. But here, he does not use it in the same way. He does not use it to mean wipe out, but he uses it to mean mercy seat. In fact, your English translation probably says something like mercy seat. That's also very interesting. Does anybody know what the mercy seat is? Yes, it's the lid for the Ark of the Covenant. 9:5. So, I really, this is the reason I did this today, because even though the word is used so seldomly, but it's a very, very important word because of what its action means. Sin is gone. And it's gone because of what Jesus did for us. So when you see this, these are the only places you're going to see the word, probably if you see it at all, depending on your translation, or in these four verses. So, any questions about this? Do you find this interesting? Okay. I probably won't do this very much. I chose this because I think this is an important word for us to know. But if I do it again, it will probably be in a long time. Or when I probably come back to verse 9. Or chapter 9. Alright, so that's that. That also leads us to our second one, to be a propitiation for the sins of the people, also in 2:17, that Jesus wipes out our sin. And finally, in verse 2:18, to help those who are tempted. So Jesus is greater than the angels because he can help those who are tempted. Meaning that we can find, if we are tempted, that we can find help in Jesus. Instead of in our own anxieties and fears. So what you're saying is, we need better obedience. All right. Okay. The place of rest? Well, it could be referring to eternal rest, but I think it also might be referring to like peace and peace of mind. Or the peace that we get through Christ. Every time I think of something like that, I think back to that, do not be anxious. Easier said than done, right? I think some of it just comes down to how we treat life too. In China, I met a girl who had been Christian before I met her. And her name was Sarah. And I think Sarah had that. She had that peace, and she told me she got it from her belief in Jesus. And I was very jealous of that. Because I'm like, well, I have faith in Jesus. Why don't I have that peace? And the simple answer is my faith doesn't move mountains. But hers does. And that because I haven't found how to reach that point. And I think for a lot of us, we just kind of figure out what it's going to take for us personally to get there. I mean, we have the answers, but moving ourselves to that point, we're our own worst enemy, right? But do you know how do you get it? This is the same reason I don't ask God for patience, because I know exactly how He's going to give it to me. But you're right, you do have to ask for it, but I'm not going to get it in a way that's going to make me happy. But I hope that you are asking God for peace. And I hope that's not my truck. Yeah. I had one more thing I wanted to... I had a few more things, but there's one I definitely want to cover today, because the others we can just move on. They'll be covered later in the chapter. And that is in verse 10. It says that Jesus was made perfect through suffering. Does this mean that there was a point where Jesus wasn't perfect? So if it doesn't mean that he wasn't perfect, what do you think it's saying here? It can't be...
Yeah. So that we would better understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that answer. His nature is perfect, so we know it's not talking about his nature. So I think his maturity or his demonstration. Yes, that's the word. Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, thank you, guys. Does this much better? Does this work better for you? Okay. All right. I'm going to try to keep doing it this way in the future. All right, let's close out in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you.